We have a new recording called Here in Your Presence, and it was recorded live in San Antonio. We have a hymns album, just me and the piano. We have a couple of Christmas albums, and I love Christmas. I'm one of those dudes that likes Christmas music all year round. And for you parents and for you young men, I have a book that I wrote for my sons. I have 4 sons and 5 daughters. That's right, you heard correctly. Melinda and I have 9 children. We're not Mormon, we're not Catholic, they're not adopted, and yes, we know what causes that. So, but this book I wrote because I didn't want my sons to struggle with their identity like I struggled with mine. It's called What Every Boy Should Know, What Every Man Wishes His Dad Had Told Him. So, dads, you want to know how to talk to your sons about sex or money or women or whatever? Get this, it'll give you at least some ideas. Now, one of the things that the Lord used in my life, and this is going to sound wacky to you, but when I was in high school, my life was pretty miserable. I struggled with homosexuality, and here was my life. I had to look around every day at school, see who was going to mock me that day, who was going to tease me that day, who was going to hit me that day. But I could get to the basketball court, play with my buddies, and they wouldn't let anyone touch me. But then I had to go back to reality after basketball practice. Would go home, do my chores, and sit at the piano for probably 2 and 3 hours a night. Because think about it, nobody could touch me there. It was like I went into this other world. And then had to go to sleep, struggling with my sexual identity. Now think about that, growing up in a small country town where everybody knows your business. That was my life. I could go to sleep, and the Lord would meet me in my dreams, y'all. Believe this or not, but this is what the Lord did for me to help save my sanity. He allowed me to live these great adventures in my dreams. And in my dreams, I lived on the Starship Enterprise. This is true. Every night for about all the way through high school and college, I dreamed the same dream literally every night. And the reason for that was because I was trapped in that life in reality. And in my dreams, I lived on the Enterprise, and every night was the same. I got captured by aliens. And my dad was, of course, Captain James Tiberius Kirk. And right at the last second, when it looked like my life was going to be done, my dad swooped in, phaser, not on stun, but on destroy. So guess what? I woke up every morning rescued. Does that make sense? The Lord used that to save my sanity. So a couple of years ago, the Lord put it on my heart that there were other boys out there like me who just really needed to understand what it meant to be the son of the king, what it meant to be a man. So I wrote this book. It's just out. It's a fantasy novel for young men. Well, even my daughters love the book. But it's for like 11, 12-year-old all the way through adult. It's called Captured. It's about this little boy who, a lot like me, was bullied in his life and really struggled with his identity. Come to find out, he gets transported to this world, this realm, where he's the son of the Most High King. And it's a story of deliverance. And so if you need a gift for your boys, you girls, that would be a good, challenging gift for them. And it's just a fun read. Okay, I've talked way more about me than I'm comfortable with. You need to understand that. You ready to worship? Let's stand in honor of the Lord. Do you believe he's here? Well, I do too. And here's the deal. I'm one of these guys. I grew up Baptist, so when you lifted your hands, it was kind of awkward, and so we never did. And I had friends who went to whacked out charismatic churches who ran around the church and jumped up and down. And all I knew was when the Lord set me free, this was November 7th, 1981, I had struggled with homosexuality all through my life. And I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But on November 7th, 1981, at the University of Oklahoma, something besides football and basketball happened for me. The Lord met me at a Christian rock and roll concert and blew my mind with his love. I couldn't stop doing this. I couldn't stop thanking him because all of a sudden, the prison I thought I was relegated to for the rest of my life was suddenly broken. The walls were blown away. The door was blown away. All of a sudden, I was free in ways I never thought possible in this life. So when I worship, that is what you're getting. Somebody who understands, man, I was bound, but now I'm free. Guys, do you understand that? That is who you are as new creations. You were once bound, but now you are free. And we're getting more free. Do you believe that? Well, let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's declare who he is, declare whose we are.
The Lord reigns. He is the mighty God. The Lord God reigns. Again. The Lord reigns. He is the mighty God. The Lord God reigns. And when the children of Israel came to the brink, he led them through, letting Pharaoh sing. And the children were dancing as old Pharaoh sang down, lifting up a mighty joyful sound, singing, great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord, he is God indeed. Great is the Lord Almighty, he is God supreme. Great is the Lord Almighty, he is Lord, he is God indeed. Great is the Lord.
Have a lot to celebrate. Now, I don't know how used you are to worshiping outward and demonstratively, but guys, here's the deal. He who has been forgiven much does what? Loves much. If you see somebody, and I love to say this because I've seen it happen, you see somebody doing these Daffy Duck flips down the aisle, don't judge them. Say, Lord, what have you done in their life to cause such a response? My goodness, thank you, Lord. So let's give one another the freedom in this place to exalt the Lord. Just exalt the Lord. And those of you who are used to outward demonstrations of worship, man, let's also don't look down on those who this is a new thing to. It's okay to sit and soak in his presence too. It's okay. In other words, we're like this big tapestry representing the body of Christ right here in this room. Let's let the Holy Spirit weave us together and see what happens. Y'all willing to do that? Well, God's word is very clear that we are to worship the Lord, but there are lots of ways to do that. Jesus, you know, he lifted his hands for us, did he not? He surrendered for us. So that's one of the reasons I lift my hands. It's me saying, I give up. I surrender to you. I surrender to your love, your power, your healing. All that you are is all that I want. Let's say that this morning. You don't have to lift your hands, but here's the deal. Jesus lifted his hands for you. It's just an act of surrender. And if you don't have any nails to deal with in your hands, think about that. What has the Lord done because he wanted you so badly. Let's sing this together.
It's called We Will Worship. Goes like this. We will worship. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. Yes, we will worship the King. Again, we will worship. Here we go. Oh, we will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. Yes, we will worship the King.
Remote place on earth, you're there. He could be right, he's right where we are every second of the day, y'all. He just is.
Your presence is the presence of the King on his throne, transcending you.
Try it with me.
Your presence, like a morning after rain, leaving clean, redeeming all who fall before you. And I bow down, bow. Forever. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. He does reign, does he not? Even when things seem out of control, he still rules. He still reigns. He's still seated on the throne, as they say. This is my life song right here. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. For you are my all in all. Sing to him. Jesus, Lamb of God, Lord, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Let's do this. Ladies, if you will, sing the chorus. Guys, you follow me on the second verse. Ready, ladies? Jesus. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, you pick me up. And when I am dry, you fill my cup. For you are my all in all. Now we switch parts. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Now let's magnify the name.
Beside the point. He's here. Let's worship him. Let's bless him. It's a simple song.
In your presence I find mercy. In your presence I find your grace. In your presence there's no your face, and here in your presence, Father, pour out your mercy. Here in your presence, Lord, pour out mountains, I will seek your face in your presence.
Yeah.
Y'all doing okay? Good. Here's the deal. I make no bones about it. I'm ashamed of my sin. You need to know that. I'm so proud of who my God is and what he's done for me. Here's the deal. Psalm 107, 1 and 2 says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord sit quietly on their hands and hope everyone knows that they're redeemed. Wrong, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has set free or delivered from the hand of the adversary, from the north, south, east, and west. That is our God. Here's the deal. If we who have been redeemed don't say what we've been redeemed from, how are those in the same bondage going to know there's hope? They're not. We're called to be the body. I minister to people who will never darken the door of a church because of the way Christians treat them. We're commanded to love, not to agree with everybody. Commanded to love. Here's what somebody did for me 30 years ago now. They said, Dennis, I don't know how to help you. I just know I know the answer. Had to go outside the church to find somebody who would love me like Jesus. They discovered my sin, confronted me in a loving way because they'd been investing in my life, and said, I don't know all the answers. I don't know how to help you, but I know the answer, and it's Jesus. I said, well, I've heard that my whole life. How is it going to be any different now? Because all I know is Jesus is sending me right to hell, no questions asked. Because that's what I had heard from day one. He said, no, you haven't heard it like this. I believe Jesus is the answer so much. I'll walk towards him with you however long it takes. However long it takes. In other words, he was saying, I believe in you so much. I believe in the work of Jesus so much that I'll walk with you towards him whatever it takes. That was 30 years ago. He still walks with me to this day. He said, when you fall down, I'm not going to kick you. I'm not going to mock you. I'm not going to say, see, I told you so. I'm going to be the one saying, here, let me help you up. You see, the only failure is the one who falls and just can't get back up or just doesn't get back up. That's the only time we're a failure. We're running a race, people. And we need to portray that race before the entire world and to such a degree that people see, yeah, Christians blow it too. But you know what? They get up and keep running the race. Get up where we fell and we run towards Jesus as if our life depends on it. Because guess what? It does. Now, it's hard to remember what I told the first service and what I've told you guys. So forgive me if I repeat myself. But when I was 10 years old, I already knew my struggle. I already knew it. You know how I found out what the church thought of me? I was already a church pianist by the time I'm 10 years old. So before I would go up after Sunday school, I'd go play with my brothers and cousins on the church steps, pretending we're Batman and Superman, jumping off the steps. It was awesome. And then the men who taught me about Jesus since day one, the men who taught me about God in Sunday school and all my lessons, just the men I respected most, began discussing what they thought of homosexuals. And remember, I already knew what I was struggling with. So to hear men who knew God in my mind talk about somebody struggles and then their disgust, their hatred, guess what I thought God thought of me? So as a 10-year-old, I felt hopeless. You have to understand that. That's where you get to when you think like that. So what was my option? Keep everybody at bay. And how do you do that? You perform well. Started on my basketball team because I knew if I was the best, everyone would think I'm a good boy. They wouldn't ask questions. Valedictorian in my senior class. Again, you excel. People think good of you. They don't ask questions. The valedictorian thing wasn't that big a deal. There were 12 in my class, just saying. It was a big deal to me, though. But my point is this. You don't have to have gone through something to help someone else out of it. You just have to know the answer. What I find is most believers just aren't willing to make the investment in the lives of people around them. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know their heartaches? Do you know their failures? Have you made any investments in their life? Because if you make investments, you get to make withdrawals too. But it's called relationship. Jesus came to restore our relationship to Father, right? Well, guess what? As believers in Christ, we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. That's 2 Corinthians. All of us. I have my unique way of doing it. You have yours. But we all need to be building relationships. Okay, that's just for free. That's just for free. Melinda and I have been married 28 years. I want y'all to meet Melinda at some point after the service. If you can, just go back to the CD table and meet her. She's my biggest fan, my biggest champion, and I couldn't do this without her. Trust me. Certainly couldn't have had 9 babies without her, that's for sure. And God has taught me so much about his love for me through my kids. We just had a wedding in October. My 4th one got married. And it's one of those times where we have all our kids together at once. We're getting to that stage in life where they're all scattering everywhere. I mean, we've got one son and his wife in Germany. We've got one daughter and her husband in Australia. And it's like, what is up with that, Lord? We gave them to you, but I didn't know you'd actually send them out and use them and stuff. But he made Skype just for us. Oh, that's our new family. That was the wedding, actually. Anyway, we all got together. And you know one of my favorite things to do as dad? This is the truth. We got to sit down and just talk about memories from their childhood. And I didn't have to say much. All I did was just, I loved being with my kids. Every opportunity Melinda and I got, we just sat with them and just listened to them talk. And I figured, you know what? If I'm an earthly father and I love and I just enjoy being with my kids, how much more does my Heavenly Father just like being with me? You see, I'm one of those crazy people that believes not only does God love me, but he just likes me. Does that make sense to you? I just think he likes being with me. I just think that. Well, one of the episodes in my life that God has taught me so much about his love was an incident when my daughter Hannah, the one that's in Australia, was a senior in high school. I get one of those phone calls that daddy never wants to get. There's been an accident. Your daughter Hannah's pinned in the wreckage. And told me where it was. I'm 7 miles away. What do you think I did? Think I obeyed the speed limits? Think I slowed down for the stop signs and the red lights? And I'd say this jokingly, but it's halfway true. Board expeditions can also do Dukes of Hazzard stuff when they need to. I did what I had to do to get to my child. I get there, the van's turned over, it's crushed on the driver's side, they've got sheets over the windows, it scared me to death. Put the sheets there to protect her from all the broken glass. But long story made short, she was just bruised up, banged up, put her in the ambulance. I left my truck, keys and all, in that street, and I jumped in the ambulance. Truck's only value was in getting me to what was of true value. That was my child. I did whatever it took to get to my child. And again, I tell you, I'm an earthly father. And if that's my mentality, my way of thinking, guess what? Magnify that about 1,000,000,000 times, and you may come close to the love of our God for us. It has been understanding and realizing it and embracing his love for me that has been my joy and my freedom and my deliverance and my hope and my healing. I'm not one of these that beat around the bush saying, well, I don't know if God likes me. I don't know. Shut up. That's the lie of the enemy. That is just absolutely the lie of the enemy. Here's the deal. A great day of deliverance in my life when the day I realized I don't get to decide if God loves me. Think about that. But yet we sit on the throne of our hearts so many times saying, God can't love me. God, well, that's just ridiculous. We have two choices in any moment. We can either embrace his love, we can reject it. Guess which way my healing has come? It's through embracing his love and letting him love me. He loved me right where I was, but the coolness of it all is that he loved me enough to not leave me there. God's word says in Zephaniah 3:17 that he is a mighty warrior in our midst, victorious. And it ends by saying that he rejoices over us with singing. And the word rejoice literally does mean to spin around wildly, to jump up and down for joy over somebody. That's his love for us. Psalm 32:7 says that he is our hiding place and that he will surround us with songs of deliverance. I just decided a long time ago I'm going to listen for those songs of deliverance because I need them. So I'm going to sing one of those over you right now. And here's what I want you to do. This is the truth. Pretend I'm not even here. If you have to close your eyes and don't look at me, that's cool. I want you to hear your father's heart, okay? Child, when you searched until you found something you just can't live without, hold on, hold on, child, I find in you love worth my life, worth my greatest
sacrifice to hold on. Hold on, you are my most prized possession, and proudly I make this confession. To gain possession, you, my passionate obsession, how I love you.
Says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, but we never get to the place of freedom unless we're willing to take the first step truth requires. You know what that is? It's our own honesty. I didn't get well. I didn't get healed. I didn't get delivered. I didn't get set free till I got honest about a few things. He's God. I'm not. Simple. He calls it sin, then I will call it sin. I need a Savior. You are the Savior. Simple. That's when the walls begin to fall down in my life. John 8:32. Interesting thing about the word know. You will know the truth. It's the word gnosis. It's used several other places in Scripture, one in particular that has a lot of meaning this time of year. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to bring forth a son? She says, but I know no man. It's the word gnoskos, and it was a sexual term, by the way, back in those days. Think about that. Mary said, I've not had an intimate relationship with a man. Now, we know that meant sexual, but let's take that meaning back to John 8:32. You will have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on the gut-wrenching level of your personal identity, who you absolutely are. Then you'll be set free. In other words, get honest, point blank, nakedly honest with the Lord. Does that make sense? That's when freedom comes. One of the things the Lord's called me to do with my life is to call people to freedom and to bind up the brokenhearted in the process. And I want to ask you to get honest a couple of times this morning. You can do that for me. Okay? I want to sing over those who are grieving the loss of a loved one today. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, I want you just to stand. This isn't to single you out. We've got the lights low. Nobody's going to notice much. But if you're grieving the loss of a loved one, just stand where you are. Anyone like that? It's okay if there's no. This is awesome. If you're here and you're just remain standing, those of you who are standing, if you're grieving the loss of a relationship, I want you to stand. Maybe you've had a disagreement with somebody. Maybe your family's gone through a divorce. Maybe somebody's just moved away or changed jobs. But you are grieving the loss of a relationship. I want you to stand and say. Okay, one more group. If you're here and you're grieving the loss of a vision or a dream, and that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, I want you to stand also. Grieving the loss of a vision or a dream. Body of Christ, this is where I need your help. I'm going to sing over them just a short little song, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to comfort them right where they are in this process of grief. But would you mind surrounding them and just lay hands on them and just pray silently so they can hear the words of the song? But let's move towards them right now.
Children, where can you go? The mountains, in the heat of the desert, in the life-consuming, deep and lonely heart of life, see and tell me, where can you hurt that I can't feel? When you feel like you're dying, need a shoulder for crying, come to me, I'm waiting here. Faithful friend when none are there. Child, my heart of love is fathomless, and yes, it reaches anywhere, anywhere, and I will be there through the long, lonely night, never letting I'll never leave you alone. I'll never go, I'll never go, I'll never let you go. I will be there, I will be there, I will be there. Yes, I will be there, I will be there. Child, trust me, I will be there. Father, continue to mind up broken hearts in this place today. It's only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing one more together, then I've got another song of ministry I want to sing over you. Everybody still doing okay? Yeah, let's stand in honor of the Lord. Let's sing this together. It's called Who Can Satisfy My Soul. This is one of my favorite songs the Lord's ever given me. Most asked question in my life, is your healing instant or has it been a process? And I'll tell you the answer after this song. Who can satisfy my soul like you? And who on earth could comfort me and love me like you do? Who could ever be more faithful, true? Well, I will trust in you. I will trust in you, my God. Living water rain down your life on me, cleansing me, refreshing me with life abundantly. River full of God.
Amen. Y'all have a seat. I'm going to get real quick to what the next thing I want to do. I want to sing one more song over you, and then we'll sing one together, and I'll be done. Here's the deal. I told you, most asked question of my life, is your healing instant or has it been a process? And the answer is yes. In an instant, I was given a brand new identity, and I decided I'm going to believe who Father says I am. My past doesn't get to define me. Failure doesn't get to define me. Temptation doesn't get to define me. Circumstances don't get to define me. People don't get to define me. There's only one. I'm hard-headed that way, too. Only my Father gets to define me. He reveals the lies. I put the lies off, put on the truth. That's all I do. Process, though. Here's the process. Remember when Lazarus came forth from the dead? He was fully alive, but he wasn't free. We know that because Jesus said to those around Lazarus, loose from him the grave clothes. Don't you imagine he wanted to jump up and down for joy because he's alive, but he couldn't? Rip them suckers away. For 30 years, that's all I've been doing. He'll say things to me like this, Dennis, you don't look good clothed in that anger. That's from the place of death you used to identify yourself as. That's not who you are. Rip that away. You're free there now. See that heart of peace I planted in you? Be that. You are who I say you are. Nothing less. I'm utterly, irrevocably, signed, sealed, delivered, my God's son because of the virtue, by the virtue of Jesus' blood. Done deal. Now, but there are times in my life when it seems like everything's absolutely out of control and it's not going to be all right. Case in point, 4.5 years ago, one of my daughters was married. Several months into the marriage, she calls me and says, Daddy, and I knew something was wrong. She said, Sean and I are having trouble. Now, I have their permission to tell this story. So I began singing songs of deliverance over their marriage from afar. We live in Muskogee. They lived in St. Louis at the time. A few weeks later, get that second phone call, Daddy, it's not any better. You're going to need to come and get me. It's falling apart. So we caravan, me and my family, all the way to St. Louis, pack her up, bring her home. Now, here's the deal. They made a vow before the Lord. They made a vow to the Jernigans too. And we need, as the body of Christ, to hold one another accountable to the things that we've decided we are. In other words, I want my brothers and sisters to challenge me in my identity. I want them to hold me to the things that I call to be true. Keep loving me, but love me through it. My son-in-law had believed some lies. My daughter had believed some lies. My son-in-law, his big one was, I'm not good enough for your daughter. Well, what guy didn't think that about getting into marriage and realizing, yeah, she could have done way better than me. I've thought that, but that's a lie from the enemy. So, long story made short, through prayer and just really counseling my son-in-law and my daughter, my son-in-law calls me, says, Mr. Jernigan, thank you for holding me to the vow, because I just believe some lies. I want to repent. I want to seek glorious forgiveness. I want to seek your forgiveness and every member of your family because I see that I made a vow to all of you. Can I come and get your daughter, my wife? And I said, we didn't unpack a thing. We knew you'd be back. They now live right next to us. It's awesome. But during that time, we needed songs of deliverance. We needed to know that God was in control. If you were here, you've got an area of your life where you just need to know it's going to be all right. Or you just need to know God's going to is in control even when it seems like it's fallen out of control around you. I want you to stand. First step to freedom is your honesty. If you just need to know it's going to be all right in a certain area, just stand where you are. I know you're out there. Anyone else? Don't be afraid. Don't even worry about what people think. They didn't die for you. Anyone else? A couple more seconds. Okay, see these who are standing? Let's quickly surround them. If you stand up every time, good, because I would be right there with you. Holy Spirit, just settle in on this now. Just settle in on this now. Guys, key to my victory, big key to my victory, is seeing my life from the King's point of view. We seek first the kingdom and his righteousness by seeking first the King. So let's ask the King to invade. You know why you're standing. Ask him to bring his kingdom to come in this area of your life. Disregard me, your Father's heart, okay? It's gonna be all right, child. Even through your darkest night, child.
I'll even use your darkness to teach you how to hear me. It's gonna be alright now, even if you can't see how. I'll even use your failure to help you to draw near me. Just hear me, I am calling, child, come falling deeper in love with me. Just trust me, you must let go, or you will never know any deeper love in me. It's gonna be alright here, if you will let me hold your heart near. I'll even use your sorrows to teach you how to love me. It's gonna be alright, child, I'll hold you really close and tight, child. I'll even use your woundings to help you know more of me. So hear me, I am calling, child, come falling deeper in love with me. Just trust me, or you will never know any deeper love in me. Why do you hold on to the things of your past? Let go, cling to me, and love that will last. Then how can you know me if you do not trust my love? Gonna be alright now, even if you can't see how. I'll even use your failure to help you to draw near me.
Father, thank you that you do not leave us, you do not forsake us. Show us where you are in all the circumstances of our lives, Lord. Show us where you are. And let us live there in our thoughts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing one together, and then I'm done. If you need further ministry, altar's open. Altar's open. It's a simple song. Let's just worship the Lord. He is here. He is here.
Every loss, every pain, every wound that I have ever sustained, you have taken, God will restore. Here I am, once again, face to face with my Redeemer and friend. I am taken, I am yours. You are the potter, I am the clay. Let's